Hi, welcome to today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman, and the Seahawks are slated to play the Arizona Cardinals this Sunday in Seattle. It's a 1 p.m. game. The Seahawks already wrapped up a playoff spot, and this is really just to finish the season strong, secure the 5 seed, and we can't overlook the Cardinals by any means. It's the only game left on the schedule, but it's one of the easier games this year. Before we start talking about the game and the recent news surrounding the Seahawks, we'll do a quick intro. I am Grant Goldberg. I co-host this Locked On Seahawks podcast, and I do social media and graphic design work for SB Nation's Lakers site. And Spike is a writer with The Stranger. Spike, now we had a couple days off. I hope you're rested. We know there is some injuries going on the Seahawks. You know, hopefully that you had some time off to get fully healthy for the rest of our shows this year.
Oh yeah, wide awake, very healthy. I definitely not going through a Doug Baldwin-esque season that he's described as being hell. He's got two knee injuries, a groin injury, an ankle injury, now a shoulder injury. You know, that's not me. I'm a little sleepy sometimes. I'm not angry Doug Baldwin.
All right. And, it'd be kind of fun to have angry Spike Friedman on the show. But, something's going to have to unfold, whether it be during this game against the Cardinals or game in the playoffs to kind of unleash that.
Honestly,
beast.
I don't think there's anything that can happen during this game against the Cardinals that would make me super angry. I mean, I don't want to play the Bears in the playoffs, but at the same time, like, I don't care that much. You know what I mean? Like, it's fine. If we end up losing and playing the Bears, how mad am I going to be?
I mean, at least the Seahawks would be in the playoffs. But,
yeah. You know what? Hey, Grant, I heard some news. Just before we get into the rest of the news, the Seahawks are in the playoffs.
Well, that's the thing. The Seahawks are in the playoffs. And so when you are in the playoffs, you have a chance to win the championship, the Super Bowl. And so now that the Seahawks are in the playoffs,
big game, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. So the Seahawks being in the playoffs gives them that shot. If you didn't know already, the Seahawks are in the playoffs. But we have some other big news, and it happened a couple days ago, and we had some time off. Pete Carroll received a contract extension. I believe it's through 2021, and this is, you know, big to me because going into this year, it seemed like Pete Carroll was kind of going all in on doing it his way, hired his guys as, you know, the offensive coordinator and Brian Schottenheimer and Ken Norton Jr. as the defensive coordinator. And it really seemed like it was going to be, you know, Pete's way on his way out. It seemed to me. It at the beginning of the season, if you ask me, do I think this will be Pete Carroll's last year coaching the Seahawks? I would have said it was probably like a 70-30 chance that it was. Obviously, things changed during the year. The Seahawks looked miles better than they did in the first 2 weeks this season. And Pete Carroll deservedly got a contract extension. He's been a great coach for the Seahawks over his tenure with the team. And I believe it's a good move for both sides.
Yeah, it stabilizes the franchise in a moment of ownership turmoil. Obviously, with Paul Allen's death, his sister taking over, they've talked about how she has, you know, relatively stable plans. She's closer with Paul Allen than I realized, or was when he was alive. I didn't realize they lived next to each other and all that. But it's a situation where keeping Pete with the franchise through 2021 just means the franchise has a steady hand on the rudder. Obviously, there are, I don't know, I guess there are some debates about whether the game is passing Pete by on the offensive side of the ball. The good news is that Russell Wilson will be with the team through 2021, barring like something horrifying happening. And so the team is going to be fine offensively. We've seen that this year. You know, even with a rejuvenated Brian Schottenheimer down the stretch, he's still not a wizard, an Andy Reid-esque wizard of scheming receivers open. Doesn't matter. Russell Wilson's the most accurate deep ball thrower in the NFL. So, you know, If you look at Pete's weaknesses, the roster is set up to deal with them. If you look at the team's roster weaknesses, Pete's skills are set to, deal with that, and that we don't have the defensive back depth that we did, but he's incredible at developing guys. We've seen that this year with Trey Flowers, with Bradley McDougald. We've seen a couple of those younger guys step up and become excellent players under his tutelage. So that's great. And then just overall franchise stability. His philosophy, from the top down is so powerful for this team, and we've seen it implemented. We've seen this season that even when the talent isn't there, the philosophy is enough to get us to a winning season and put up, despite losing, nine Pro Bowlers from last year, give or take, a comparable season, and with everything breaking the right way, so, potentially the 5 seed with another win over what we got last year. So, I think he did an incredible job. I think he is the best coach in the history of the franchise. He's one of the 5 best coaches in the NFL, period. And on his day, he's the 2nd best coach in the NFL. And so, yeah, you gotta keep him. You gotta pay him. He's making $11 million a year, baby. Good, good. Get Pete that money.
Yeah.
Get Pete that paper.
Well, I think, and we had this conversation, around this time last year, actually, that the Seahawks should spare no expense in getting the right coaches for this team. I mean, it's not tied to the salary cap for the team, so they could, literally go crazy spending money on coaches. And yeah, they should give Pete Carroll all the money that he needs to coach this team. It doesn't really matter when you have billionaires funding this football team. So yeah, and speaking of, Jody Allen said that she's, well, Pete Carroll said she's fired up to retain ownership of the team. And so, I mean, like, having an owner to back you and fully support you. Obviously, we don't know how her tenure is going to go with the team, but if anything like Paul Allen, we'll get a owner that cares about the team, doing what's right for the Seahawks. And so now this is the first move in hopefully a few that, really, set a precedent in how Jody Allen takes care of the Seahawks franchise.
Yeah, and hopefully the next step is getting Russ, get his contract dealt with. I think they should do that this summer. The sooner the better if you know your quarterback is good to go and the franchise is stable around him. Getting Frank Clark paid. Yeah, she just inherited $20 billion. Like, pay everybody. There's a salary cap. She can't lose her money. Also, the Seahawks are very profitable. This is great for Jody Allen. Jody Allen's life is fine. I mean, I'm sure she's mourning her brother, but in terms of the overall situation, the financial health of the team, this is not a burden for her. And having Pete Carroll there is great. You know what else is great?
What's up? What else is great, Spike?
We got a game to preview, and I think we should come back, and I know that it's going to be straightforward, but we're going to come back right after this with a quick preview of Week 17, massive action, Seahawks Cardinals, Locked On Seahawks, Locked On Podcast Network. Please stick around.
And we are at the second portion of today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are still with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman, and hopefully you have stuck around because
Please.
this is the preview part of the show. We're going to talk about the Arizona Cardinals football team.
I like that you said that like it's the Washington football team, like there's something offensive about the Cardinals. There is something offensive about this version of the Cardinals, which is having to watch them play football twice this year.
Yes.
They are not good at anything, Grant.
Nope.
What if you were to pick one thing that this Cardinals team is good and dangerous at, what would it be? I have my answer, but I want to hear yours first.
Ooh, that's good and dangerous. Playing their games at State Farm Field in Glendale, Arizona. That's the most dangerous team thing about this Arizona Cardinals team. That is a murder house, and I do not want to play there ever again. Luckily, this game is in Seattle, and so I guess Chandler Jones is the most dangerous thing about this team.
Yeah, Chandler Jones is probably the right answer. My answer is Larry Fitzgerald touchdown passes. He just threw his first one of his career last week. You got to know that they're going to be trying to get him three or four more this week, so that's a problem. I will say the Seahawks, since the horrifying incident in Arizona a few years ago, have not lost in Arizona. Obviously, we tied that one game and have really struggled with this team in Seattle. But that was in the Bruce Arians era and not the Steve Wilks era, which looks like it might well be ending in a Jim Mora-esque 1 year run of just utter failure. I mean, this is a team that is well behind in every DVOA metric. I mean, let me put it to you this way. Arizona is as close to Buffalo, who is 31st in DVOA, as Buffalo is to the Carolina Panthers, who are 16th in DVOA. Like, this is the worst team in the NFL by far. And remember, this is an NFL that not only has a Josh Allen-led Buffalo team, but also has the Jon Gruden Oakland Raiders, a Detroit team that has just utterly collapsed since they traded away Golden Tate. You're talking about a world where San Francisco's out there, no Garoppolo. Washington's out there with no Alex Smith. Arizona has their quarterback in Josh Rosen. He's just not good, and their offense is not good. Their offense is historically bad. So, yeah, I just, this is, it's tough to find a reason to be scared because with this Seahawks team, the weakness is they give up chunk plays. We saw it last week in Kansas City. We've seen it all year. Like, we've had to go bend but don't break in a very Patriots-esque sort of way. That means that our underlying defensive numbers look real bad. And so if a team is capable of just picking up chunks on us, like we saw with the LA Chargers, like, that is an example of the sort of team that can come out, that can rush Russell Wilson, but then they can pick up chunks on offense, really keep us destabilized all game. This Arizona team doesn't really pick up chunks. They sort of nibble around the edges and then punt, and they
No,
don't have Michael Dick.
they're
So
none of what
I'm
you just
not worried.
said.
Yeah, they're not the LA Chargers who are very good at football. Or the Kansas City Chiefs who managed, despite playing pretty badly against us, to put up 31 points. They ain't that. So this ain't that fear. I'm really struggling to find a reason to be worried. They're also down, I believe, all five of their starting offensive linemen from the beginning of the year. So not only do they have a rookie quarterback, a bad offensive system, aging weapons, and then bad weapons, but also no offensive line. Really, it is top to bottom catastrophe on that side of the ball. Given the Seahawks have decided to just stop turning the ball over, their only turnover in the last few weeks was that Russell Wilson backwards throw as time was running out in the first half. I cannot find a, like, I can find a version of this game that is annoying, but I can't find a version of this game that, like, we lose. Grant, am I crazy?
I don't think there's, I think if you're looking at 100 scenarios of this how this game pans out, there's probably one, maybe two scenarios where the Seahawks
Wow.
lose, and it's an utter catastrophe if the Seahawks find a way to lose this game. If the Seahawks don't want that to happen and they want to, put it, at the, furthest back in their mind of losing this game, then it starts up front with the pass rush again. Especially with the Cardinals down so many offensive linemen, they're gonna have to have another game where the pass rush just is productive. I'm talking, QB hits, generating turnovers. They're gonna have to, sack Josh Rosen, strip sacks, hitting him while he's throwing, creating interceptable passes, even though you don't really need to hit Josh Rosen right now to create interceptable passes. But turnovers are gonna start up front this game. And Frank Clark, I think, is going to have a big afternoon. Deion Jordan needs to, build on top of that Chiefs game where he had a sack, a forced fumble. And so I think, especially going into the playoffs, your pass rush needs to be, gaining steam. I think this is another opportunity to do that. Given everything you just said about this Cardinals team, I don't know how much more there is to say. Other than, this is an opportunity for the Seahawks to just really get going into the playoffs. I'd like it to be, like 21 or 24-0 at halftime, and so you can throw Brett Hundley out there for the second half.
Yeah, it would be great to not risk Russell Wilson injuries. And at the very, you're asking for the whole second half. I'm just asking for the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and Pete Carroll's not the guy to rest his starters for at least the whole game. So I'm looking for a strong first half from the Seahawks team. Like, just don't take your foot off the gas pedal for the since from the first snap to the end of the first half. I think that there'll be opportunity to fill in the substitutes, throughout the third quarter and the fourth quarter. Hopefully, this is the case. Hopefully the Seahawks don't really mess around on either side of the ball and accidentally make this a game.
I think that this is on the offensive side of the ball. We've had these injuries. We talked about Doug Baldwin already. The offensive line is banged up. Fluker is again questionable. Ifedi is questionable. I think there's obviously Simmons is out. So you're just looking at an offensive line that's a little banged up. Rashad Penny is obviously coming back from an injury, so we've got guys that are hurting on that side of the ball. It'd be nice to be able to, roll with Ethan Posick for one more week. He played pretty well last week, having not looked great the week before, and actually drawing a much tougher matchup with Kansas City. It would be nice to see him get in there, get those reps, rest some of those other dudes. Oh, J.R. Sweezy, sprained foot is the diagnosis there, and the prognosis is as of now unknown. So that's another dude who's going to be resting on up front for the Seahawks. So yeah, again, that's sort of where my mind is on that side of the ball. On the other side of the ball, though, it would be great to see the defense come out and flex. And I think we should talk a little bit about where the Seahawks defense is at and then pick the game, but we should take a quick break first. So, again, please stick around. We're talking Cardinals football on the Locked On Seahawks podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network.
And we're at the final portion of today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are still with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman. And again, hopefully you stuck around. We're going to talk about the Seahawks defense a little more. We're going to predict this game. So hopefully you are here for this. Spike, this is another opportunity for the Seahawks to flex their muscles on defense. I'm using your words. What opportunities does this defense have against this Arizona Cardinals offense, or lack thereof?
Get the pass rush going. Jaren Reed, Frank Clark, Quentin Jefferson, Deion Jordan. You talked about some of those dudes earlier, but let's get this pass rush going. It's an all backup offensive line. We know that the pass rush, great job last week of pressuring and hitting Mahomes. I think we ended up with 11 QB hits, but only one sack. I want to see these guys getting home. And Josh Rosen is a good and interesting quarterback prospect. I don't think this season necessarily reflects on his upside, but he is not Patrick Mahomes in terms of mobility. We got to get to him. We got to hit him. And I also want to see some of these backups. KJ Wright's still coming back from injury. Hopefully he's going to be on a pitch count. I'd love to see Shakeem get a couple snaps. We saw that happen last week. Love to see a little more of that Akeem King situation that we've been seeing recently, those bandit packages that have six, seven D backs on the field. Let's get that all worked out. It's Pete will never think of this as a practice. He's going to have his foot on the gas. He talked about that in his presser this week. But for the players to, the pressure is just a little less for them to be able to just think about executing, not worry quite so much about making mistakes, really get those reps in at game speed. I think it's a great opportunity for this team. Like that win last week against Kansas City, which, by the way, I believe I predicted like 10 weeks ago heroically that we were going to beat Kansas City after losing a dumb game against San Francisco. Doesn't matter. You guys listen to this podcast, you know that. You're listening to Svengali's out here. But the important thing is, let's get this defense cooking. Grant, what do you want to see from this defense this week?
I want to see them take advantage of some bad throws from Josh Rosen. I agree with you that
Yeah.
this version of Josh Rosen really probably isn't what he's going to be in the future. And so right now, I think we're seeing sort of a similar situation to Jared Goff in his first year with the Rams. But there's going to be opportunities for the Seahawks to intercept some passes, And so, you know what I'm looking forward to? The Seahawks inflating their numbers on defense. This is purely just
We
for.
can't though. Man, it sucks. The Arizona's so bad in DVOA that even if the defense like pitches a shutout and gets like four turnovers, our DVOA will go down. What a nightmare. What a
Jeez.
nightmare.
All right, so what I'm looking for is individual stats to be
Yeah, there we
inflated.
go.
Shaquille Griffin getting interceptions. Trey Flowers getting interceptions. Bobby Wagner getting an interception, strip sack, forced fumble return for a touchdown. Jerron Reed with two sacks. Bradley McDougald with an interception and a forced fumble. Tedrick Thompson with a couple of interceptions. And so this is just, sort of my late Christmas list for the Seahawks this Sunday against the Cardinals. They're going to have opportunities to take the ball away from Arizona. They can't afford, well, yes, they can afford to drop some interceptable balls because there will be more. But, take advantage of what's in front of you. I think
I love.
that. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I love that we've gotten this far into a preview of the Arizona Cardinals and have not mentioned David Johnson yet. I think that really speaks to this Arizona coaching staff of Steve Wilks and now Byron Leftwich, but previously, I believe Mike McCoy. Whoa, how have they wasted David Johnson? This team makes me angry and sad at the same time. It's like an emo song from like the late 90s. I don't know, man. I don't know. I
I
don't
don't.
know. I don't know.
I feel like misusing players in the NFL is just like low key easy to do, and especially when you have a bad team. And usually there's the looter in a riot situation where a player can still look really good, and team around it can be, or a team around him can be really bad. This hasn't been the situation with David Johnson, and I'm thankful for that as a Seahawks fan because. David Johnson, especially with how the team was earlier in the year with their lack of linebacker depth, could have been a really big problem for them. And hopefully, thankfully, he won't be most likely against the Seahawks in Seattle. But given everything that we've said about how bad the Cardinals are and how this is a great opportunity for the Seahawks to pick up steam going into the playoffs, this could just totally be. The trappiest of trap games, and the Seahawks could end up losing 22-21. I don't know, but that's like the least likely situation in this game coming up on Sunday. And in a real prediction from me, hopefully it's like 27-3. I think they'll be able to put some points up on the board. And I think when I talk about the Arizona Cardinals scoring 3 points in this game.
Yeah, I'm gonna go 31-13. I just think they get some. I think this gets to garbage time. I think we see Brett Hundley. I think we see KJ Wright put on the bench. I think that happens. I think it's like 28-6 through three quarters, and then we get to enjoy things, and then we get to be really stressed about what happens against Dallas. So, yeah. All right. I think it's good.
Yeah, I think it'll be a forgettable game for a good reason on Sunday. That's my final stance on it, and I think that's where we'll end the show today. We want to thank you guys for listening. We had a few days off in between shows, just the recap and the preview. We'll be back next week to go into the playoffs. And so we're super excited because Spike, did you know the Seahawks are in the playoffs?
Yeah, they're in the playoffs, baby.
We're going to see some Seahawks playoff football. And so we thank you guys for listening all throughout this year. It's week 17. You've listened to countless weeks of Locked On Seahawks podcast. So we appreciate you guys as listeners. If you guys appreciate us as hosts, then you can go ahead and go to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star review. You can also leave a 4 or 2-star review, but you don't really want to do that. And you can listen to us anywhere. Tell your friends that you can listen to us anywhere. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher, anywhere that has a podcast, you'll be able to find us. And so, yeah, I think that does it. Spike, do you have anything else?
Yeah, I think, well, we'll have this conversation next week, but I just want to put it out there. Where Russ and Pete in the MVP coach of the year candidate situation, I think they're both top five right now, and that's crazy. I get like this season is so weird. Anyway, that's all I got. Russell Wilson MVP. Let's do this thing.
There you go. Russell Wilson, MVP. If not this year, next year. That's where I'm saying. And so, for the Locked On Seahawks podcast, I am Grant Goldberg signing off.
And I'm Spike Friedman, also signing off.